Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 2, Message Bible. We start a new series of teachings today. Very interesting subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Let's go. Now, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. Good. Now you have an idea. Our theme for this month is titled Extraordinary Sex. This is the same reaction I've been getting in all the services. Oh my God, in the church. Sorry, in the shush. In the house of God. Pastor. Anything that has the capacity to generate power for motion, anything that has drive, needs to have start and stop functions. Am I right? So you have to be able to start the car or start the bike, and you have to be able to stop it completely. Secondly, it also has to have a brake system. Am I right? So imagine that bike without brakes. You can start it, you can engage the gear, you can rev it, you can move, you can run fast, 80 miles per hour, that's 130 kilometers per hour. But just imagine that it has no brake system. Imagine a car without brakes. Imagine an aircraft as powerful as it is and as fast without a system to brake its speed. What will be the result? Accidents. Good. So, when you describe the desire or propensity that a human being has for sexual activity, it is also called sex drive. Sex drive. Because the way fuel or gas goes through combustion and generates power that moves a car or moves a bike or moves an aircraft is the way there are chemicals in your brain and mind that generate power, generate the push, the drive towards sexual activity. Testosterone and dopamine. So, a human being that has sex drive without a sexual brake system is anointed for accidents. There are loads of different testimonies and experiences of sexual accidents. Unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, incest. Because sometimes it puzzles people. How could a human being sleep with his own daughter? We've seen that. A man sleeps with his daughter. She gets pregnant, gives birth to a daughter. So, he has a daughter, and his daughter's daughter is his daughter. So you wonder, is he crazy? Oh, you don't understand chemicals. Those chemicals, when they set in, loads of instances of rape. Okay? Broken hearts all over the place. Sexual accidents. What we have to accept is the fact that we are sexual beings. We are designed for sex. the design of your body shows that sex is an integral part of your being. And without sex, you and I would not even exist. The topic or subject of sex is not going to go away soon. We can't wish it away. It's with us. It's here. So just in case you are wondering, so for God's sake, is that what we should be talking about in the church? Ah. I like to talk about what affects our lives, what we experience everywhere. And for God's sake, some smart people have realized, look, this is one subject that will get people's attention faster than anything else. So they now bring sex into everything else. Now, that's the surest way to get people's attention. So the reality now is that sex is in our face. It's everywhere. Even if you close your eyes, you will see it. We see it, we hear it, we feel it, we taste it. It's everywhere. So, and what they're busy doing is to rev our engine. Like that guy was revving the bike. Vroom, vroom, vroom. They're revving, revving our sex engines. And unfortunately, most people don't know how the brake system works. Some people are accidents going somewhere to happen. Just thank God for coming to this service. It's a temptation. It's an area in which most of us are tempted. So we need to deal with it. Or what do you think? Should we talk about it? Do you think it makes sense? Because some people think it makes the Holy Spirit feel uncomfortable. So we need to discuss how to manage our sexuality. That's what this is about. How to manage it. The Corinthians wrote a letter to Paul the Apostle. Because when you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you realize sex was a big subject in Corinth. What Satan gets the world to do is to look for ways to douse the conscience in the process of getting as much sex as possible. If you can't beat it, join it. Or if you can't beat them, join them. So instead of walking around with guilt, you say, don't mind those religious people. It's just that they don't want you to enjoy yourself. So they look for ways to permit you to have sex without. So that was where Corinth was. It was so bad in Corinth that they invented gods and goddesses that permitted looseness in sex. To the extent that they had temple prostitutes. So sleeping with them was a part of the worship process. Man can be very innovative. Amazing. So Paul introduced God's kingdom, introduced God's system, and made them realize it doesn't work like that in God's system. So that's why they wanted to understand a bit more. So he said, concerning the letter that you wrote to me, you were asking, should people have sexual relations? And he said, yes. However, as far as God is concerned, it has to be within a context. And it's the context of marriage. Marriage is strong enough to provide for you to enjoy as much sex as you want to enjoy. But you need to go by the guidelines of the person that created sex in the first place. So I have just three tips because it's just an introduction. Number one, every vehicle or equipment that can generate motion comes with a manual. Every vehicle that has the capacity to generate motion will come with a manual. You need to learn how to operate it. Some of them have the capacity to kill you. When you give a teenager a car to drive, it's good you let the teenager know this thing can kill you. Can get excited over the fact that, yes, now you have the capacity to drive a car, but it can kill you. So it is when you read the manual, you learn how to operate it, you're trained on how to operate it, that you're allowed to operate it. Most of the information that we have out in the world today on sex is from fake manuals.
fake manuals generated by fake experts who do not have your interest at heart. They understand human psychology. They know how strong the sexual emotion is, and that when it kicks in, it has the capacity to overrun your reason at short notice. It has the capacity to overrun your capacity to reason or to think at short notice. They understand that. But they have their own objective. It's either they want to sell a product or they want to sell a service, or they just want to dump their own values into your spirit. So Psalm 1 from verse 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel, ideas, advice of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of discomfort. If where you get your information on sex from is the bear parlor, you are headed for trouble. For some of us, it's our peers, from friends. In the Bible, King David's oldest son, Amnon, raped his own sister on the advice of a friend. So you've got to be careful where your information on sex is coming from. And today, this is important because the information is just there, whether you are looking for it or not. It's on the internet. It's there. It's in the videos. It's in the photos. It's there. On social media, there are people who just throw pictures at me. It's there. So be careful where your information is coming from. Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. His leaf will never wither. That will be your testimony. Amen. You rise, you are not coming down. Amen. Your story will not be on the pages of newspapers. Amen. The power of God will sustain us. That's why we need to talk about it here. Amen? Good. People think about money all the time, including while they're in the service. They don't like for a pastor to talk about money. So I want to talk about what you are thinking about. Same thing with the sex subject. Let's discuss it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You'll be amazed how much the Bible has to say about sex. Amazed. And we'll be exposing some of those insights as we go on. The second thing I want to say is, you don't drive motorbikes, cars, operate ships or aircraft without being licensed. Am I right? Those things that have the power to generate motion, they insist you must be licensed before you can operate them. In terms of driving a car, there's a minimum age, according to the law, 16. Then you can learn to drive. And the first thing they give you is a learner's permit. So you're not even allowed to operate the vehicle on your own. A licensed driver has to be sitting next to you. Why? Because anything that has the capacity to create motion with speed has the capacity to kill you, to put you in the state of where you have accidents. So when God says, wait for sex, wait, you need training. And then when you've been trained, you need to be tested. Because that's what they do before they give you a driving license. Or that's how it's supposed to be. Listen, if anyone gives you a driving license to operate a vehicle without you being trained on how to do it and being tested, it may look like fun, but they gave you a license to kill yourself and to kill other people. And sincerely speaking, that's the experience of some of us when it comes to sex. Not only do people hurt themselves, then they go about hurting other people. So, you need a license. You need to be trained on how to use this equipment. And you need to be tested. And then you are given a license. There's a reason why Christians are usually very happy on their wedding day. That's the day they get their license. That's the reason why in our church we don't preach long sermons at wedding ceremonies. 10 minutes. Somebody say, won't you talk sense into them before they get married?
they won't hear you
on the wedding day. Oh, you would have known us by now. We're very, very purposeful here. Deal with it the way it is. Why the hypocrisy? You prayed a long sermon. 90% of what you said, the guy won't remember. This is the day, this is the service in which he is getting his license. Let's do the I do quickly. So everything we have to say, we say before the wedding day. We attach you to counselors who conduct training over months, go into the practicals of marriage and so on. But as for the day itself, thank you, Jesus. 15 minutes, we're done. Go for your honeymoon. Hallelujah. So, marry quickly. We've been waiting for you, amen. So, and with that brevity, we do several in a day. Sometimes we use two horses concurrently. We're ready. That's why we're here. So, give yourself time to grow, to mature, because sex is more than a physical activity. There's a whole lot that goes with it. You need to understand how it works. And this is important. Your coach, your mentor, your trainer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Your best coach, your best trainer. Because you are dealing with an emotion that is stronger than any other emotion. The one who has the capacity to help you manage it is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that we should be filled with the Spirit and not with wine in which there is excess. Why the comparison between the Holy Spirit and wine? Chemicals. Remember, like we said, sex is about chemicals in the system. And because people want to, sex is pleasurable, so people want to take it to the extreme. They want to take the enjoyment, the pleasure to the extreme, so they introduce extra chemicals into their system, beginning with alcohol. And some move on to Indian hemp or marijuana, and some do it with cocaine, some with heroin, to heighten the feelings and the emotions. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And the Bible is saying that the Holy Spirit will pay you better than those other chemicals. Because those ones are destructive. It's about chemicals. Wait. When two people are sexually attracted to each other, how do we describe it? We say that they have sexual chemistry. Am I right? Yeah. It's about chemicals. There's chemistry. If you don't have someone to train you, coach you, help you to manage the chemistry, it will develop into physics. Because physics is about motion. And if you don't handle that physics very well, you will do biology. Welcome to the science class. Some of us ran away a long time. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, people looked at them and said, these guys are filled with wine. Ephesians 5, you read verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. See, it's the Holy Spirit that can best help you to manage your emotions. Remember what I said. Emotions are so powerful, they have the capacity to overrun reason or logic at short notice. You may just have finished listening to 3 messages on holiness, and you will do something that will surprise you. You need to... You need this coach, this mentor. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. One of the most important prayers you'll ever pray in your life is, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. It's amazing what God does. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The last one for today, number three, whatever mistakes you may have made, you can straighten the record. Because many of us have experienced accidents before or near accidents. But 1 John chapter 1, you read verses 7 to 9. If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. Church is not a place where you pretend. You don't come to a doctor, sick, and the doctor asks you, so where is the pain? And you say, I'm okay. You go home with your sickness. I know why we cover up our issues in church, because there are loads of hypocrites who focus on other people's problems instead of dealing with their own issues. They are like those that caught the woman caught in adultery. And the only way Jesus resolved that issue was to say, anyone among you who is not doing something similar, threw the first stone. Isn't it amazing they all disappeared? So there was the woman caught in adultery, but there were more that had not yet been caught. And it is those that have not yet been caught that give us the greatest problem in church. Church is a place for healing. Church is a place for restoration. Church is not a place for pretenders. If someone was having issues, I don't know where else they should go, if not church. So it says, if we say we have no issues, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to do what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. So all we have to do this morning is say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. I declare in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit rests on us. Amen. In this service this morning. Amen. We receive forgiveness for our mistakes. Amen. And now the God who said, my grace is sufficient for you, we declare that we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive grace. We receive grace to align our sexuality with your word and to align it with our destinies. And so, Lord, we thank you because there's forgiveness in the house. And whatever the consequences were that came with mistakes in this area, we declare those consequences are removed from our lives. The curse is broken. Amen. Habits and patterns of the mind and in the emotions are broken. Amen. We bind every spirit of immorality that feeds weaknesses in this area. We cast them out in the name of Jesus. We declare our freedom. We declare our victory in Christ in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every trap set by Satan, we declare now they are set in vain. They have failed up front. Lord, any home that is hurting in this area, we prophesy peace over those homes. We prophesy healing. We prophesy restoration in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for that honest person in this service who says, I don't even have a relationship with God. That's a starting point. I can't be lying before God. I came here this morning not having a relationship with God at all. I'm a sinner. But I appreciate that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. Today, if I receive forgiveness from God, I hold Satan nothing anymore. And perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you've gone so much back into sin, you're not even sure you will make heaven. God forbid you die today, appear before God, you're not sure anymore you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can I ask if you want us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, that you please put your hand on your heart? Pastor, I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me my sins. Or I've been a Christian before, but I've so backslidden, I'm not sure I will make heaven anymore. Can you please put your hand on your heart? We'll say short prayer together. Short prayer. Life-changing, life-transforming prayer together. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Just know, you make a decision in God's presence. It changes your life. God is the one to run to. It doesn't matter. Yes. I committed abortion, led someone to commit abortion. I've done all kinds of crazy things. I've slept with who I should not sleep with. All that is history as we receive forgiveness from God today. Can you say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child.
Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters. Today is a day of deliverance, healing, transformation. Thank you because you heard their prayers. And thank you for the change in their lives. Teach them to know you. Teach them to love you and to love others the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.